Hello and welcome to News 24 on Air, our live audio service. I'm Ihlala Ntsabo. News 24 has learned that former President Jacob Zuma is engaged in protracted discussions about trading carbon credits with a Russian NGO facilitated by a newly established yet enigmatic Belarusian entity while sporting a new Belarusian address for his foundation. The former president is a board member of the Belarus African Foreign Trade Association, or BAFTA, which attempted to donate a substantial 2 million carbon credits to the African Voluntary Carbon Credits Market Forum in Zimbabwe. The association, however, has no online footprint or formal registration in Belarus, South Africa, or Russia, and remains shrouded in mystery. Adding to the intrigue is a third person, an enigma known only as Mr. Duros, who, according to the Belarus National Agency of Investment and Privatization, brought Zuma and BAFTA to the attention of the agency. Now, to give us more on the story, we are joined by Azara Karim, an investigative journalist at News 24. Azara, thank you for joining us. Quite a bizarre story filled with a lot of mystery. Perhaps let's start off with looking at, you know, whether or not, how long rather, the former president has had perhaps an interest in trading in carbon credits. I mean, it's not unusual for anyone to take an interest in anything, but just out of curiosity, have we seen any historical records where the president has shown an interest in this avenue?
No, not at all. I don't think he's ever pioneered or spearheaded any project under the new United Nations mechanism that would generate carbon credits. I have never, ever seen him speaking about carbon credits except for last year. This is largely a new entry by him. We did ask his spokesperson these sorts of questions. He never responded, obviously.
But
I don't think so. I mean, judging by press statements released in the past and stuff, I think this is his first time entering the market.
And before we get into detail about, you know, the carbon credits that he was intending on trading, perhaps just explain to us, when we talk about carbon credits, what exactly are we talking about?
Right. So carbon credits were created under the Kyoto Protocol, under the United Nations Framework Convention for Climate Change.
Right.
Protocol essentially set emission reduction targets for countries. Carbon credits are a financial incentive, essentially, for countries to reduce their emissions.
Right.
So there's two mechanisms under the Kyoto Protocol, the joint implementation for industrialized economies and the CDM, the Clean Development Mechanism for developing countries.
Right.
That's all, you know, way, way back in like 2005. Those terms have been done away with now. But if a country, through a project that it implements, is able to reduce its emissions under its set targets, it can sell the remainder of its emissions in the form of carbon credits to a larger emitter. And the whole point is to become carbon neutral.
Right.
And it's also a financial incentive. So one carbon credit would equal one ton of carbon dioxide.
Right, right. Now let's look at the carbon credits that former President Zuma was dealing with. Where did they originate from?
I was able to trace these carbon credits back to a Siberian reforestation project that happened in about 2008.
Right.
Pre 2012. It was essentially the project aimed to grow forests on agricultural land or land where there had been none before. And it generated its carbon credits pre 2012. And according to the NGO that is running the program, the Center for Environmental Innovation, which is a Russian NGO, they've been trying to sell their carbon credits since about 2016.
Right. And of course, Interpol has, raised concerns about how vulnerable carbon trade is to fraud and illegal activities. Perhaps just take us through what those illegal activities might include?
So the carbon markets, especially when you're dealing with pre-2012 carbon credits, mm-hmm. and especially when you're dealing with the voluntary markets, is quite unregulated. Okay. According to one expert I spoke to, he said the only thing that's really regulated is how you can advertise what you're selling. Mm-hmm. But if I want to sell you a carbon credit, I can charge anything I want as long mm-hmm. as you agree. Mm-hmm. Because it's a voluntary, it's mine and yours yes. business. It's a yes. voluntary thing that we're doing. Mm-hmm. The carbon crime falls under Interpol. So mm-hmm. Interpol is normally the entity that would investigate these issues.
Yeah.
And they released a handbook on carbon market crimes. Mm-hmm. And according to them, the market is vulnerable because it leaves open a bunch of mechanisms revolving around the transaction of money and how mm. money changes hands. Mm. Things like double counting, which is mentioned in the story.
Yeah.
When some credits are sold, when one bunch of credits is sold multiple times over and over again, because essentially it's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's not nothing real.
Yeah.
It can also be vulnerable to price manipulation, which uh-huh. can lead to embezzlement, money laundering, and it can happen when cash is used to purchase the credits, especially using a broker.
Right. So essentially, it's quite difficult to regulate carbon credit.
There have apparently been more moves to make countries have oversight, more oversight over
right.
the trading or the markets. Uh-huh. That's according to another expert I spoke to. But
yeah.
back then, and especially with pre-2012 carbon credits, uh-huh. under joint implementation, uh-huh. Eastern Europe, uh-huh. that's where there's a lack of oversight.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you consulted a number of experts on the story. And as you mentioned, some of the points that, you know, they raised as concerns. What else did they perhaps tell you, you know, what areas of concern for them and mm. put the potential ramifications mm. of, you know, trading mm. with carbon credit?
So knowing that these carbon credits that Zuma tried to last year donate yeah. to that Zimbabwean forum, mm-hmm. knowing that it originates from this Siberian mm-hmm. Russian reforestation project.
Yeah.
One expert I spoke to, Andrew Gilder, mm-hmm. who is a climate change and carbon market specialist.
Yeah.
He's the director of a company called Climate Legal, which is, I think it's in Durban. Mm-hmm. He said that there's especially concern around Eastern European carbon credits. And that is because of a very complex situation that happened after the fall of the Soviet Union. Mm. So obviously, after the fall of the Soviet Union, there would naturally be a decline in industrial activity there.
Yeah.
So when they implemented JI projects, joint implementation projects, under that first commitment period, they did so on a trajectory that was business as usual, that didn't take into, you know, the historical factors.
Yeah.
So they naturally saw a decline and then asked decline in their carbon emissions and then demanded carbon credits for that.
Yeah.
But there's also issues around verification processes around these carbon credits, which maybe in some cases the integrity of the credits were questioned. So he describes this as hot air, mm-hmm. you know, because of the questionable climate change projects and impact. Sorry, the
right.
impact.
Right.
Gilda basically said that if you wanted to sell carbon credits, uh-huh. he personally wouldn't be selling these.
Oh.
And especially if you want to put them on the African market, uh-huh. Which is already under pressure.
Yeah.
You introduce these potentially questionable credits into the market. Uh-huh. And another expert I spoke to, Dr. Lambert Schneider, he was part of a study that looked into the integrity of Eastern European carbon credits. Uh-huh. He said basically the only thing you can do is to transfer these types of carbon credits into a cancellation account. There's nothing really you can do with
them. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Azara, as this story obviously takes these mysterious twists and turns, you also learned that there's a Belarusian address linked to the Jacob Zuma Foundation. Tell us more about that.
So the other weird thing about this story is the timeline and how everything unfolded. We can see that Zuma was in Zimbabwe at this voluntary forum in early July. He then travels to Russia about 5 days later.
Yeah.
And that is the time when the Constitutional Court ordered Zuma back to prison. He stays in Russia for about almost a month on medical.
Right.
For medical reasons.
Yes, yes.
And then returns and then goes to jail for 2 hours.
Right.
During the time that he was in Russia, between Zimbabwe and Russia, during the time where he said he was in Russia for medical treatment, that press statement that he released then is the first time that this new Belarusian address appears. And it's somewhere in the middle between Zimbabwe and Russia and that timeline.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting.
So
I followed this address. I mean, I didn't go to Belarus, but I looked on Yandex maps for this address. And it leads to what seems to be an old primary school. And it's no longer inhabited. It's completely dilapidated. We have pictures of it on my story.
Which they can find on news24.com.
No windows, plants going out the roof, completely unattended, overgrown front yard. It's a pretty big building because it's a school, you know. It's also just on the border of Russia. So it's in the Vitebsk region. I don't know if I'm saying that right, which is just, it's separated from Russia by a lake. And a couple of hours from Moscow.
And of course, I mean, you've taken these findings to the Jacob Zuma Foundation and asked for comment. Have they said anything?
No. Mani only acknowledged our quote-unquote Bible of questions.
Okay.
And said that Zuma won't be able to answer them because he's going to be very busy over the next few days. Obviously, that was the the week of many, many court cases that he had. That week that the Mourn Downer case was struck off the roll,
I see. And just to close off, Azara, I mean, it's quite clear that the former president has strong relations with Russia. What are you hoping is the reader's biggest takeaway from your story?
Well, I want the reader to ask the same questions I'm asking. And I would like clarity on the situation. I think that it's one of the first, one of the personal deals that we can see Zuma doing with Russian Belarusian entities. Why? I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre. I think and questions need to be answered, especially by Durko presidency.
Azara Karim, investigative journalist at News 24. To read up on the full story, do visit news24.com. That's all we have for now. Until next time, I'm Mihlali Ntsabo.